Welcome to Eco Living in Action, a half-hour sustainable living show with Maureen Howard. From making your own cleaning products to composting, recycling, keeping chooks and reducing your carbon footprint, Maureen and her guests will inspire you with practical, everyday solutions that make a difference. Eco Living in Action, proudly supported by Sustainable Dunedin City.
Welcome to Eco Living in Action. I'm your host, Maureen Howard. Cycling is good for our health and the air quality of our cities and the stability of our climate. But regardless of how many wonderful bike lanes we have in Dunedin, be they existing or in the pipeline, we can't use them if our bicycle is broken. And mending your bike can be a real barrier if you're short of cash or skills. So step in the Crooked Spoke. The Crooked Spoke is a DIY bicycle workshop based in Upper Moray Place in Dunedin. It's not-for-profit and it's run by volunteers. It's got tools, bike parts, bicycles, and it's open to everyone to come along and use the tools that are there to fix your bike, and volunteers are always around to show people what to do. The Crooked Spoke also provide bikes simply for a koha, and so it's a wonderful service where things are freely shared, and if you have bikes or bike parts festering in your garage, they'll receive a welcome home there at the Crooked Spoke. So on this show, recorded on the 21st of February, I talk with Todd Coxhead, volunteer with the Crooked Spoke, about all the things that this DIY bike shop does, how it's helping Dunedinites, and about the global rise in community bike shops. So welcome to the show, Todd.
Good morning.
Good morning. So you've cycled in today, I assume?
I have. Yeah, it's a lovely day here.
Is it good? So summer has arrived in Dunedin?
Yeah, for the day, I think.
For the day. Anyway, you have to take it when you get it. So as listeners probably have guessed, I'm Skyping in from Northern Ireland, as I do every fortnight, to interview a Dunedin guest. So you've been involved with the Crooked Spoke for how long now?
I started coming along in early 2013, yeah.
Right,
at the start of the year, I visited the Crooked Spoke for the first time with a terribly destroyed bicycle that I'd just taken cycle touring.
Oh, right.
They all laughed at me.
Because they thought you'd taken the wrong type of bike for touring?
No, because I'd run it completely into the ground. Yeah, it was a wreck by the time I got it back here.
Did you travel a long distance with it?
I rode to Auckland and back.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah, without knowing anything about bicycle maintenance.
That's fantastic.
I took it in there and in the process of fixing it up, got completely hooked on the place. And yeah, I've been there a couple of times a week basically ever since.
The Crooked Spoke has been going longer than that, hasn't it?
It has. It started in Buller Street in 2009. So we're getting close to 10 years now. It's funny, every time people ask how long we've been around for, it's been 5 years for about, I don't know, maybe 3 years now. We've been telling people it's been 5 years, but it's almost 9 years now, which is really cool.
Wow, that's great. Yeah, and so it started, so Chris Schultz and who else was involved with it?
Chris and I actually don't know all of them because Chris is the only fellow who's left in town. Another guy, Simon, who I've met recently, and a few others. They started it in their warehouse apartment that they were living in at the time, and then they, more recently, in the last few years, well, it was a couple of years after they were in their warehouse apartment, they moved to the Moray Place location.
That's great, because it's a great location. And I do know Rory, he was involved with it, Rory Harding.
He was, that's right, yes.
Yeah. So this current premises that they're at, and they've been at them for as long as I've known about the Crooked Spoke, it's what used to be Tangente, but is now...
Yeah, it's called the Kitchen Table, that cafe.
The Kitchen Table.
That's the one.
111 Moray Place.
Yes.
And so does the Crooked Spoke get funding for what they do?
No, not really. Every now and then people sort of offer us chunks of money from various sort of volunteer sources and that kind of like pools of money, grants and things like that, but really we don't need it. The organisation is located in a space that's owned by the Corso Trust, and the Corso Trust just lets us use the space for free. And it all runs off sort of volunteer time, so there aren't very many overheads at all. And in fact, we've been redistributing our donations to other organisations in the form of big deposits. So Rape Crisis is also part of the space, and we've been giving them money that we've been sort of that we've been given by people who are coming in. And really, yeah, we don't need a lot of funding at all.
That's really nice. That's great. And so you've been involved since 2013. What kind of things do you do with the Crooked Spoke?
I've been sort of building my skills, working on other people's bicycles and getting knowledge from the people who volunteer there. And in return for that, have been showing other people how to, basically passing those skills on. So a lot of the time is spent helping people do repairs to their bikes. That's the most of what we do. So handing people tools and stepping them through the process that's necessary to get their bike back on the road. And then there's also a bit of sort of, well, there's obviously the social aspect of it, sort of building a bicycle culture in Dunedin in that space. Mm-hmm. And a lot of working on my own bikes as well in my spare time, yeah.
So you've got several bikes now, do you? And you?
I do. I've got a collection. Yeah, get one for every day.
One for every day, and every purpose.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I guess yeah. So there are a lot of benefits of the Crooked Spoke, and I guess one of them, you know, that for people who are just coming along with the bike is that basically they can get their bike fixed for nothing or a very low cost, really.
Yeah, the whole system runs on Koha, so it's really about, it's definitely not about making money, it's more about making bicycles available to people and getting people on bikes, especially people who can't afford to run into a bike shop and sort of throw down the four-figure sum for a shiny bicycle. It's more about getting people in and, you know, teaching them the skills that they need to do it themselves.
Mm-hmm. So that we're all, much more skilled and able. And for people who aren't from New Zealand, a koha, it's kind of like it's an expected donation, isn't it? It's a little bit more than a donation. And I guess giving people those skills and so much confidence, because I know I really should spend several weeks at the Crooked Spoke when I get back and just to get more confident with my skills so that I feel that I could go on a big long journey with my bicycle and not panic if it breaks down on me, you know?
Yeah, there really aren't that many moving parts on a bicycle when you sort of start looking at it, well, compared to many of the other things that we tend to operate, like cars and what have you. And once you get into it, the principles are very similar between the different components as well. So once you know which way to turn the spanner and which end of the screwdriver to hold, you should be away laughing, really.
Yeah, and it's having that confidence, because when you're whizzing down a Dunedin hill, you do want to be able to trust that that the brakes are going to work when you get to the bottom.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and knowing what to look for, I guess, is the other thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And, of course, from an environmental perspective, you know, we're giving people to, you know, an opportunity to get out of their cars and get onto their bicycle. And it's also a lot less waste going to landfill, isn't it? Because so many bikes, they get chucked out, you know, and when they get something wrong with them.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. And I guess it sort of is a function of the market system and the way that if you're getting someone else to do the work for you, you have to pay them a reasonable amount of money for them to be available to do that. But the reality of bicycles is that you can do the work yourself and it's not that complicated. And so with a bit of knowledge, the maintenance of old bicycles becomes viable, whereas if you were to take them into a bike shop, a lot of the time it would be cheaper to buy a new bike.
And now, because you mentioned at the beginning, you talked about, you know, the community aspect of belonging to the Crooked Spoke. How is that? You know, are there a lot of people who come on a regular basis?
It's actually a pretty small group of people who volunteer there at the moment. And we haven't gone looking for more volunteers, but only because we haven't sort of thought about it. I guess it might be a more of a necessity thing when that comes up. But at this stage, yeah, it's at the moment, or definitely as long as I've been there, it's been kind of a tight-knit group of people who share their skills and obviously organising other bicycle-related things as part of that. So working on, going for rides with friends and organising trips away to go biking and that sort of thing is all part of that, I guess.
Right. And do you have much connection with the cycling advocacy groups like Spokes Dunedin?
Not heaps. I know there are a few of the people who are in the organisation who pop in every now and then, and a bunch of them are also my friends. We don't have sort of formal meetings or anything like that, but we do share the word when each other is when each of the organisations are doing events and running things like that. So we do sort of act as an extended network, I guess you could say.
Mm. But it's just really nice having that physical space, you know, sort of. I guess if somebody's new to the city, they could come to you and you can kind of point them in the right direction, you know, in terms of getting involved with what's going on in terms of cycling in Dunedin.
Yeah, definitely. It would be a great local phone book, as it were.
Mm. Yeah. And for volunteers, you could have a few more people if they are keen to come and help out.
Yeah, we're always keen to have people coming to help out, actually. And basically, the more people that are there, the better. The more interesting sort of different approaches to work that you can get, and also just the more fun it is, the more people that are around.
Yeah.
Especially at this time of year, we're really busy with students coming back. And there's
Oh, right, so it's certain times of the year.
Yeah, it tends to be peak season right now. And at the moment, there's about three of us who volunteer regularly. And on any given day, there can be sort of 20 or 30 people wandering around looking for help. And you're sort of helping someone and you turn around and there's someone waiting right behind you.
Okay, so any bike enthusiasts out there, this is a good time to come and volunteer.
Yeah,
and you're
that's
open
right.
On, it's Wednesdays and Fridays, isn't that right?
Yes, in the afternoon. So Wednesdays 4 till 6 and Fridays are 4 till 8. Yeah.
That's great. And of course, if people are a volunteer maybe and, well, they could do their apprenticeship and become a volunteer if they're not very good at the moment, they don't need to worry. They'll gain the skills and...
And
be able to help others?
Yeah, it's a bit of a mixture of the people who come in. Like, certainly that was how I started. I didn't really have much of an idea about bike maintenance at all. But along the way, I've kind of picked it up. I sort of started a project when I was there, a crappy old bike that I did up, and went through all the steps with the other volunteers. And after that, was sort of ready to move on to helping other people. But obviously, yeah, people who come from bike maintenance backgrounds are very welcome as well. They have a much greater knowledge of things like particularly new bikes, which is something we don't deal with a lot in the Crooked Spoke.
Right, and differences of them. So now parts. So I did say right at the beginning that people, if they've got, you know, bike parts that are in good condition or bicycles that are in moderate condition, they can bring them into you, can't they?
Yeah. Yeah, the whole system sort of runs on donations in that regard as well. And so all of the bikes and the parts that we have come from people clearing up their garages or upgrading their bicycles. And it's an interesting one trying to explain to someone what a good bicycle is in terms of the things we need for donations. And basically the bottom end of the spectrum is bikes that have been sitting in bushes for years. And sometimes you can bring them back and sometimes you can't. But we're always keen for people to consider us if they're throwing bikes away. That's something that's really valuable, is having that source of parts for us to pass on to other people.
So are there any particular parts that you're short of at the moment, or what tends to be in high demand?
Yeah, whole bicycles, actually, at the moment.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we've only got a couple of whole bicycles around that aren't claimed by people already, so the students all come through and they want to pick up a bike when they arrive in town. Anyone who's got most of a bicycle sitting around, we'd love to have it if you don't need it.
That's great. Bring it down. Okay. So now, as I've been traveling and I guess just over the years, I've noticed that there's a number of things that are around, and, you know, there's this movement of doing things for free and sharing things for free. And it's the same in the biking world. And, you know, the Crooked Spoke, it is part of a global movement, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess it's people sort of reacting to the single-use culture that's developed by manufacturers, and kind of almost a knee-jerk reaction, people wanting to be able to take control of the things they own so that they can extend their lifetime and not have to replace them regularly. And definitely the Crooked Spoke fits into that gap really well. It's something that we try and focus on doing a lot.
But it's even just more than that. It's that this is, you know, people sharing skills and without necessarily, you know, needing payment and things like that. You know, it's creates community, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot of empowerment involved, I think. People kind of sort of demystifying technology for people so that they can be comfortable knowing that what they're writing is, you know, or what they're owning or what they're using is something that's not unfamiliar.
Yeah. Have you visited any of these other DIY bike shops or bike collectives?
Yes, I've been to the Wellington one, and obviously there's another one in Dunedin, which I don't know that you're aware of.
Tell me about that one.
Right, it's the Valley Community Workspace.
I do know about that.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Of course.
So I've been up there fairly regularly as well, dropping in to say hi.
Right, and so when is it open? It's Saturdays, isn't it, that they...
Yeah, they do Tuesdays and Saturdays. So
right.
Tuesday evenings and Saturday sort of midday. I think it's like 10 till 1 on a Saturday.
Right, okay. And what about the Wellington one? Was it interesting?
Yeah, the Wellington one was amazing. It was just in a... they've just moved, actually. But when I went, they were in their original residence, which was just an old villa. And they sort of had the downstairs rooms filled with bicycles. They had this kind of strange room that was absolutely packed with parts. And, yeah, it was similar to the Crooked Spoke, I guess, but a different kind of arrangement. Yeah.
But did they have room for people to actually do the repairs? Or?
A little bit. Yeah, it was cozy.
Because that's one of the good things at the Crooked Spoke is you do have that big courtyard. You know, there's room for people to do stuff.
Yeah. When it's not raining, you can really spread out, which is very helpful for large groups.
So what do the bike shops think of the Crooked Spoke? Because do they see you as competitors or do you know anything about that?
I think that they don't really mind. So we sort of have a reasonably upfront relationship with most of them, and they're aware of our presence. For the most part, the bikes that we end up preparing are ones that they would write off. So if it's an older bicycle or if it's really broken, it's not worth their time. Well, you know, they'd feel bad taking someone's money to do the repair if it was going to cost someone $200 or $300 in time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we kind of fill a niche that the bike shops perhaps are less interested in being in. I think perhaps in part that's because there's no secondhand bike shops in Dunedin. They're all new bike shops and places that obviously do repairs. But, for the most part, I think they're quite happy for us to exist. I think they see that we bring a positive side to the bicycle culture in Dunedin and that we don't harm their sales to a great degree, and often, in fact, when there are things we can't do or don't have the ability to do, we pass them on to the bike shop anyway and sort of send them down that way, and we get people sent up to us from the bike shops, so they can't hate us too much.
That's great. And I guess, you know, the more people we have on bikes, it creates a bike culture, and so the more people we will have on bikes, you know, you'll encourage other people to get on their bikes, so I guess it all has a positive effect.
Yeah, well, certainly one thing that I think probably happens a lot is people come to us and get their first bike, they get a really sad old one that they sort of they cherish for a year or two, and then they realise that they want something shinier and they go to a bike shop after that. So if we can be the gateway drug, if you will, I'm sure they're happy for that to happen too.
Now, one thing over here in Northern Ireland, it seems to be a bigger issue. You know, people are concerned about liability and stuff, and I guess there's that thought, you know, if you're helping someone fix their bike. Is that something that you think about, or...?
It's something that we've talked about in the past, and the main sort of sidestep that we do for the liability is that the premise of the Crooked Spoke is it's more about the owner of the bike doing the maintenance, and the hope is that we don't have to work on people's bikes for them anyway, because we don't particularly like just working on other people's bikes. That's what bike shops are for. It's more about people taking that responsibility themselves, and so we pass on the knowledge, and there are instances where we do work for people to help them out, but for the most part it's about people taking that responsibility into their own hands and making sure that their bikes are safe themselves. And we are passing on that knowledge to the sort of greatest extent of our ability. But we don't take responsibility for other people's bicycles being perfect when they walk away.
No.
Yeah.
No, and in a way, you know, by giving empowering people and giving them that knowledge, they'll be able to check their bike more often, you know, than perhaps that you might do if you have a bike and, you know, you tend not to take it down to the shop and get it serviced very often.
Yeah, that's right. If it costs you $80 a time, then you're probably not going to do it too often if you don't have heaps of money floating around.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting one. We've never encountered any problems, and I guess we probably keep kind of flying a little bit blind until we do. But, yeah, there is a manifesto at the Crooked Spoke, which is up on the wall, and it essentially declares that it's your responsibility, and that's why it's a DIY bike workshop and not a bike shop as such.
Cool. Well, now, what, tell me, so just thinking bigger, but, you know, I've been away for a little bit, but have you seen many improvements, do you think, about Dunedin in terms of its ability to provide a good cycling infrastructure for people?
Yeah, I have, yeah. So I reckon that the construction of the cycle networks has been really, really, really good. Obviously, there have been a few sort of slip-ups on the part of the planners, and that's, I don't know whether whose fault that is or where to point the finger, but it doesn't really matter at the end of the day because the things that they've done really well. Well, the things that they've done well, sorry. Yeah, so the Port Chalmers cycleway developments are really cool, and that whole loop around the harbour being developed is amazing. And, I mean, we just keep getting rid of bicycles, so they must be going somewhere. They must be going to people riding them, unless they're all piling up in people's backyards. All I can imagine is that there are more and more people getting into bicycling. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think that'll be great. And it'll attract the tourists as well, you know, having that loop out onto the peninsula and everything.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and they're even talking about doing a ferry from Port Chalmers over to Portobello. So you can
have
the full
loop.
That's
right. Yes,
that'd
I know.
Really, really cool.
That'd be great. Okay, so we've already talked about, you know, that the Crooked Spoke, it's part of a kind of like a bigger movement and I guess helping us to become more of a cycling city. So are you feeling quite optimistic about, you know, the future of cycling in Dunedin and us becoming a cycling city?
I think it can only get better in Dunedin, yeah. The development of the main cycleway network down the one ways is going to be incredible when that goes through, the separated cycle lanes that are going to run down there. Yeah, I think people are gradually sort of coming around to the idea that riding a bike isn't that bad, and it's certainly not that scary, especially when you have that infrastructure in place. Dunedin has a lot of hills, but again, I think that that's not really a barrier if you've got a bicycle that's well maintained. And yeah,
the gears can go down.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, if you've got the right equipment, it's not really a big deal.
And if you really need assistance, you can put your bicycle on the front of the bus.
That's right. Yeah, I love that. It's so good. I live in Mornington, so I every now and then chuck my bike on the front of a bus and really enjoy sitting back while they drive up the hill. It's fantastic.
Okay. And so the Crooked Spoke isn't the only thing that you do, is it, Todd?
It's not,
You've got a business, you're part of a business.
Yeah, I only fix bikes in my spare time, really. I don't work at any of the bike shops or anything. I make coffee during the day. I've got
that's
a company that makes cold brew coffee, yeah.
It's cool. So it's Harpoon Cold Brew.
That's the one, yep.
And people can find out about it on your website. So it's a bit of a difference. This is a cold coffee, or a cold brewed coffee.
Yes, so we make the coffee using cold water and we steep it overnight and then filter it and put it in bottles, so you end up with a product that you can drink cold, or you can mix it with hot water or hot milk. You can make it up into smoothies and milkshakes, that kind of thing, or you can just pour it over ice. Yeah.
Right. And has it got a smoother, a slightly different flavour to it?
It does, yeah. It tends to be less sort of acidic and less bitter, and has more of the subtle flavour tones of coffee, so you can get more of the interesting flavours out of different particular kinds of coffee as well, which is something we do.
And where can people get it?
You can get it all around the place, actually. In Dunedin, it's stocked in the Countdown and the New World, and the Fresh Choice, and the Marbex, all kinds of spots.
That's great, Todd. Well, if people want to find out, just back to the topic of the Crooked Spook, and they can come along. So it's Wednesdays and Fridays, 4 to 6 and 4 to 8 on Friday, and it's at 111 Moray Place. And you've also got a Facebook page, haven't you?
We do. We've got a Facebook page, and if you Google it, there's also a map link on there as well. So it comes up as a volunteer organisation on Google.
Right, great. And if you're interested in finding out more about these community bike workshops, I looked on the internet and you can go to their website. There's an international website, www.bikecollectives.org. So if people are wanting to know a bit more, or where other ones are around the world, it's got a list of the ones that are in all the different main cities, and I see they've got Dunedin on the list there.
Cool.
Okay, Todd, well, thank you very much for coming on the show.
No worries. It was great to talk to you, Maureen.
That's great. And thank you for listening to this program about the Crooked Spook with my guest, Todd Coxhead. I'm Maureen Howard, and this is Eco Living in Action on Otago Access Radio, 105.4 FM. If you'd like to listen to the show again, you can download it as a podcast from Otago Access Radio's website at oar.org.nz. And Eco Living in Action is supported by Sustainable Dunedin City. And next week on the show, I'll be chatting with Tiziana O'Hara about cooperatives. So I hope you can tune in, and thanks for listening.
Sustainable Dunedin City aims to facilitate a positive, secure and sustainable future for Dunedin. We're local people interested in issues of climate change, declining energy security and sustainability. Is there effect our city? Sustainable Dunedin City produces a regular online newsletter of sustainability related events, hosts regular green drink sessions, and organises the Big Green Challenge. For more information or to join, go to www.sustainabledunedincity.org.nz.
Community Access, radio every way you want it, on planetaudio.org.nz.
In Auckland, just about everywhere, you can see the water, and it has a lovely calming and invigorating effect.
Next to the ocean, wide open sea, cool breeze, lot of open space.
Hiking, swimming, lovely beaches.
Beaches.
I love the West Coast. I love being able to get in my car and in 40 minutes being in one of the most beautiful beaches in the world.
Loving Auckland.
Well, I love that it's such a green city. It's just so rich in texture with all the different plants and trees and shrubs. There are giant trees, more than 150 years old. You can touch the roots of the country, of the history.
I love the bush, the heaps of parks around Auckland that you can go and play in. And the libraries.
Loving Auckland, our diverse city. 104.6 Planet FM.
That's a Joe Cocker classic with a powerful message. That word respect packs a punch. It means so much. Openness, honesty, feeling safe every day. They are the values of Mental Health Radio Take It From Us, an award-winning show about psych stuff. We're wanting to spread healthy and holistic wellness and mental health insights. Listen Tuesdays at 12:30 p.m. on 104.6 FM or anytime online at planetaudio.org.nz/Take It From Us. Even listen on your mobile.
You're tuned to Planet FM 104.6, coming to you from the Sky Tower. Eco Living in Action will be back next Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. with more sustainable solutions and practical tips for green living. At 6:35, we start a segment for New AN listeners. Firstly, community news and information from Radio Pika Pika, followed by New AN Health at 7:40.